From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. I'm Nate Russell. Welcome back, everybody, to week number 28 of our Career Tracker. The Career Tracker is back today. We're checking in with our four filmmakers whose lives and careers we have been tracking for, oh my God, the better part of a year. So we're back to track along with them once again today. If you haven't heard the previous installments of this ongoing miniseries, I guess, it's on the feed. Every 7 weeks, we've been publishing it. It starts at week zero back in April, and we are now at week number 28. Sophie Alkezian's here, too. Hey, Sophie.
Hi.
Week 28. It's going quick.
Wow. It's really flown by.
I know. And I was realizing in doing these interviews with these folks that the next one will be our last one of the year. Week 35 will be it for 2017.
Crazy.
So all the goals that these folks had for themselves, the lofty goals back in April, what 2017 was going to be, and this has been a shit year, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
bad.
I think we can all agree that. It's been a shit year. So, like, where did their goals line up? I'm very curious to see how the rest of the year goes for them. Matt Starr's also here with us. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Welcome. Writer, performer, former producer on a digital team.
That's
Don't
correct.
Forget that title.
Yeah. Former man on the street digital correspondent.
That's right.
Yep.
And all-around good guy here to share his thoughts on career tracking. So, Matt, you know, we talk in this project specifically about how 7 weeks can really change your perspective and change where you are in your career.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I would say that in the last 7 weeks, your career's been a little bit upended.
That's right.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure.
For those who don't know.
So I recently was part of the Above Average Fellowship Program. It ended due to, like,
unforeseen budget reasons.
It wasn't any fault or any cause of our own, and so it was like, okay, so this was great while it lasted, and then it ends, and that's the way things go, you know.
And we talked to, and this is a spoiler alert for anyone who's been tracking along with Ben Marshall, but spoiler mm-hmm. alert, Matt was in the same residency fellowship program with Ben.
Yeah.
So obviously this has impacted Ben as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to him about how he felt about it, but, like, was it something that, like, clearly it wasn't something anybody saw coming.
Right.
For you, in terms of, like, the time that you were in that position and what you sort of walking away from the job with, like, mm-hmm. what has been the last couple of weeks since that ended been for you?
Yeah, since it ended, honestly, for me, like, I've been doing this for kind of a while now.
Yeah.
that for me, like, I'm better off now than I was 4 months ago for having taken this job.
Cool.
You know, like, was it supposed to last 18 months? Like, that's kind of what they said. And did it last four? Like, yes, it lasted 4 months.
Yeah. That's a big difference.
It's a very big difference, yeah. You know. But at the same time, it's like, well, in those 4 months, I got to make a lot of really great stuff. I got to meet a lot of great people. Did it end? Like, yeah, but that's kind of the way it goes. Like,
right.
Places are just trying to keep the lights on, and it really what didn't have, if we were told and it was stressed, and by any metric that we were making the videos, you can go look at them, like, they're good.
Yeah.
It just was like, literally, we don't have the money to do this.
Right.
And I'm not in any kind of, like, I wasn't one of the people paid enough to know what the real numbers were or what they're going to do now.
Sure.
Or anything like that. All I know is that, like, I'm very proud of what we did there, and I'm better off now for having taken the job and done the work.
And in the time since, like, where have you sort of been restarting for yourself? I saw you post that you're teaching some writing classes. You're sort of getting back into that, which probably wasn't as necessary when you were working 50, 60 hours a week.
Right. So, like, what I'm struggling with right now is there's this feeling of, like, so I had been told no a lot. I've been told no a lot. I've been in New York for almost 8 years, and mm-hmm. I've been doing comedy pretty much that entire time. Freelance, like, full-time comedy for the last four, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible how many different ways you can be told no in a week. Like, just how, like, just,
yeah.
Like, one time I submitted a play to, like, a fringe festival. I literally woke up that morning, opened the mail, and they had mailed me a rejection letter.
Yeah.
And I was like, all I had to do that day to be rejected was wake up and open the mail. And it was like, I didn't think it was going to be anything. But in the last couple of weeks, as you're resetting, the no's, like, get easier. Like, they get easier to deal with. And you kind of realize, like, well, this isn't going to be the thing that makes me go to law school or anything like that. So
sure.
I'm going to, like, I want to figure out what's next for me, and I also don't want to regress to what I was doing. Like, I don't want to be like Principal Skinner in that episode of The Simpsons where like he loses his job and just like picks up as like a street tough. So I'm trying to figure out what's next without just like immediately picking back up and coaching improv all the time. And I teach this pilot writing class because, one, I love doing it, and I love helping people write their pilots, and two, because it's more in line with what I want to be doing now, which is like actually writing and producing things. I love improv. I would never say anything bad about improv, but I want to start focusing on writing more.
Sure, and if you have the space or the latitude and financially to not have to make that sort of like leap in that way, then yeah, why not take the chance that like something else that will feel like forward progress will come along before doing the things that are too lateral or too sort of like in a reverse mode. I also think it's interesting that you refer to the thing that makes you go to law school, the thing that makes you go into a career that's very stable and well paying.
I mean, like for me, that like for me, that's like yeah, it's like time to give up the dream and like finally become a lawyer who helps people.
The like, horrors. Yeah.
To me, that's not what I want. My parents are very supportive.
That's great.
In moralness only, like emotionally only.
Yeah.
But they've at least changed now from, well, you could always go to law school, to now their thing is like, well, you could always open an improv theater in Columbus.
Right.
And to me, I'm like, no. I don't want to do that. Yeah. No, thank you.
As fun as that sounds.
As much fun as that sounds.
Well, excited that that's a great attitude to have, and excited that you sort of landed on your feet. You ready to dig in with these folks here?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's track along with our folks. We're actually going to start with Ben Marshall, who you're very familiar with.
And I'm so excited to dig into Ben here.
That's right. So a little bit of a spoiler so far on what's happened to Ben. But if you've been tracking along from the beginning, we've been tracking Ben, as opposed to somebody like Matt, who's been in the scene and working for 8 years. Ben's out of school. This was his first job. He graduated while he was on this show. And then the next time he came back and he said, I've got a job for 18 months. And we're like, holy shit, you did it, man. And then 4 months later, poof, it's all gone. Let's hear the recap of where Ben was 7 weeks ago in week number 21.
I'm ready for a break, but I'm really excited about the work I'm doing. I'm acting in this series that Sarah Smallwood Parsons is writing called Personal Business. So that's been really fun. We shot like 4 episodes of that, writing some sketches for the YouTube channel and stuff. We're still pumping out those social videos, but have our hands in other things too. Trying to figure out what it is, the type of stuff we want to be doing. We're still doing the show every month and shooting stuff with my sketch group. I mean, we shot, I think, 4 things this summer, which, like, we're really proud of, and now we're, like, in post with all of those. I've learned a ton. Definitely, like, how to pitch, just churning out ideas every day. I've become a quicker editor, I think. In terms of any concrete rewards, I'm not really, like, expecting anything. Just I don't know, I'm 22 years old, just trying to like do as much as I can, have a good time, and yeah, make stuff I think funny.
Oh, to be young 7 weeks ago. Yeah. Little did he know what was coming. And also, you know, second spoiler alert, Ben's in person for this interview, both because he was now available to come in and do the in-person thing. He'd been on the phone for the previous 3. And also because I heard that he was available and hired him. So 2 spoilers for Ben, but let's check in with Ben Marshall, week 28. So Ben, we're doing this in person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Happy to be here.
Somebody said to me after the last one, they said, why is he on the phone? Is he out of the city? I was like, no, he's on 40th Street. So what's new in 7 weeks, man? What's the big news?
The biggest news is, my residency at Above Average ended a little early.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. So now I'm pretty much, well, I guess I can update them that I'm working for you now.
We're messing with the science of this experiment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Above Average residency, it was supposed to be 18, when you went into it, it was 18 months, right?
Yeah, that was, like...
That was the news items I read.
That was the... Exactly. That was, the goal for it.
And inside of the last 7 weeks, the residency came to an end.
It did. That's correct.
Because there's a difference. There's a difference between Ben, you're out of here.
Absolutely.
And, hey, everybody, this isn't happening anymore. So it...
Yeah.
It concluded Less than 4 months in, huh?
Yeah, I think about 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was just a business decision for them. But as far as, like, where I am now, I'm way better off than I was 4 months ago, thanks to the residency. And they're keeping all their promises about setting us up with meetings with people and trying to get us situated for our next step.
Yeah.
So
I guess how long ago was it from when we're talking now? It was only a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or even a week ago.
Week and a half, 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So super recent.
Yeah.
And essentially, like, after hearing the news, I just was very concerned about what the next step would be. Just trying to get all my like reels and resumes and everything together to start setting up meetings with people and figuring out what I'm going to do next. But I got very lucky in that I got an offer from you.
It was opportunistic for us too, man. It was like someone came through. It's like, you'd be perfect for it. And it's like, oh shit, he's available.
Yeah. I think overall thoughts about the experience are very, very positive. I learned a lot. I met a lot of great people. I'm leaving after 4 months with like professional comedy writing and acting experience, like a totally new reel and great stuff to put on my resume, and just like people who I think I'll continue to collaborate with for a long time. So I definitely think the experience was super positive. And if anything, this is maybe just speeding along the process of getting to what my next thing would have been anyways after the residency. 'Cause now I think I'm like looking at next steps with a little bit more of like a critical eye of like, okay, what do I really want to be doing day to day? And I think like I'm doing this gig for you guys now for a month, and that's awesome, and I needed that. But I think after this month, I'm going to try to take some time to like write a pilot I'm really proud of and like write a great late night packet and, you know, just like focus on spending time doing things that I wouldn't have had time to with a full-time job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because it is interesting to sort of like throw yourself into something that's full-time so quickly out of school. Is it the sort of thing where you feel like something more regular is appealing to you, or are you thinking like maybe that a freelance type cadence might be the direction to go next?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just sort of like finding that as it happens. I think I'd be really happy to you know, write for a show or to even be a writer's assistant on a show.
Sure. I'd
really like a gig like that, which would be obviously way more time-consuming. But I am also really sort of opening myself up to the more freelance sort of lifestyle.
Yeah.
Just doing gigs here and there and then really spending a lot of time focusing on making my own stuff.
Yeah.
That pretty much has kept up, which I'm very happy about. Still meeting with those guys all the time. We've got like three videos in post now, I think. We've got one up online. We like screened one at our last show.
Cool.
Yeah, we're trying to like take advantage of the show as a place to like screen videos and edit them based on the reaction. And
yeah.
That's been really fun. So yeah, and then we're also like, I mean, the week the residency ended, it was like I had three shows with my sketch group that week, so it was like not much time to process everything, still sort of like hitting the ground running with them. Which is like one thing I'm really grateful for, like a piece of advice I got before taking on a full-time comedy job was, and like, so this experience is so not unique, I'm finding, that like everybody who's working in this industry has a similar sort of story where you think you have a job for a certain amount of time and then you don't anymore. That's like very normal. So the piece of advice I got beforehand was keep doing the stuff that you're doing with your sketch group and on your own outside of work, like a full-time job. And I'm really happy that I continue to do that and didn't slow down. 'Cause now I still have that to focus on now.
Right now, it's not like you have to sort of start something. It's just that
totally. One
thing is off the plate and the other thing just keeps chugging along.
Right. I think it'll be really interesting to see whether or not I get a full-time job or just like am doing stuff on my own.
Because
if I am doing stuff on my own, I like have a couple like spec scripts right now, but nothing that I'm like super excited about.
Yeah.
So I'm I really want to write a pilot idea I have and make it good and send it to people and get notes. I really want to write like a good late night packet. And yeah, just keep making videos with my sketch group and see how all that plays out.
Yeah, and I just want to like reiterate on the air that I really don't want to disparage above average in any way. I hope not. I really have a lot of respect for everybody at that company and thank them for the opportunity.
Cool, man. Well, excited to see how the next 7 weeks of this next chapter look.
Me too. Thanks so much for having me on.
I hear a lot of similarities in how you guys are talking.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to take the opportunity to point out that you're not disparaging above average on air?
I need to legally say I am not disparaging above average or any Broadway video component. Mas Mejor, I think, is great. And I honestly just had lunch with Ben and told him I was going to really dig into him on this podcast. Yeah. But I can't. He's the best guy. And, like, yeah, we. That's the way kind of, like, everybody walked away with the same feeling of, like, it stopped. And we were all sad because it meant that we couldn't keep making cool stuff together and working together because everybody genuinely liked each other. It was just like, the board of faceless people met and they were like, oh, there's a bottom line here, you know?
It also makes me think, though, about, like, how I responded to No at his age.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that what I hear from him is a very mature point of view on something that is normal, but I don't know personally that I had that level of maturity at his age that if No had come to me like that, I think I would have been upset.
So, yeah, so having worked with Ben, I can tell you he's a person who's, like, way ahead of the curve. Ben's doing everything right. Like, he's got a great sketch group with his friends, and they all are super funny, and he's, like, nice, and he's hardworking, and he's just way ahead of the curve. Like, we were in a meeting once, and it was talking about personal business, that series. And I was like, you know, that's something that, like, a crappy 22-year-old would do. You know what I'm talking about. And he's like, I'm 22. And I'm like, you're 22? Like, get out of here. Like, you're not 22. And he's like, no, I'm 22. And it's like, that sucks, dude. That sucks that you're this cool and this young. When I was 22, like, I had no idea. Like,
was No harder for you before? Was rejection something you took more personally or took harder when you were younger?
For sure. Like, I got cut from Harold Knight when I was, like, 23, I want to say. Like, 23, 24, I'd been on. I think I made it when I was 23. I think I got cut at 24 and, like, took it very hard.
Yeah.
Like, family members were like, well, maybe you should go to law school, you know what I mean? Like, right. And you just take it and you question everything. There is a weird thing that happens, though, when you get told yes by a job, like above average or something like that, of it gives you, you don't want it to validate you as a performer or as a writer or whatever, but it does, like, give you this boost of, like, okay, somebody said yes and took a chance on me. I must be doing something okay. And I think it then probably makes it easier to say no. Other than, like, you hope that it's not just, like, no's all in a row. Does that make sense? That's what can really wear you down.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I think it's just, like, yeah, I think that that's the circumstance with you and with Ben, it's so emblematic of, like, what this project is about that it's sort of, like, you can feel like you're moving in one direction and something comes along and it changes your point of view. And some of it's about how resilient you are to that change.
Right.
Let's move on to our next career tracker. Mm-hmm. We're going to go out west to Los Angeles, sunny 125 fucking degree Los Angeles, and check in with Marla Black. Do you know Marla?
Mm-mm.
Marla's somebody with a producing background, production background. She actually used to do, like, music licensing and clearances for Canadian Idol back in the day.
Cool.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Sophie chimes in on that one. Canadian Idol.
That's when I cut in.
Who are the celeb judges on Canadian Idol? Is it, like, Celine Dion and Alanis Morissette?
We'll turn to our resident Torontonian here.
I truly don't remember. I liked the show, but I don't remember.
Unforgettable.
And here's the lead singer of Bare Naked Ladies.
That's right.
He's giving you a thumbs up. You're going to Toronto.
It wasn't like that. You're going to Toronto? Like the way that the American Idol, they go, you're going to L.A.?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh,
from what I remember, yeah.
You got the reference.
That's it.
Very good.
Yeah, that's, you know what?
I feel like
I regret saying anything now. Now we're just making fun of Canada.
Well, Marla, also Canadian,
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles now.
Cool.
And working on trying to move from production jobs, which she used to refer to as her waitressing jobs because they weren't necessarily her passion, mm-hmm. But they were something that she did as a day job. And when we first checked in with her, she was getting out of some production contracts and was the first time in a while that she didn't have anything lined up. And she has since had some personal stuff go on that has involved some trips to Canada back and forth and some health stuff. She had a couple of hiccups that felt like it was like jobs stopping and starting and shows she had worked a season on got canceled. Mm-hmm. But the last time we checked in with her, things felt like they were looking up. Some good things had happened to her. Let's listen to our recap of Marla Black in week 21.
I got cast in a new show that's airing in the fall, Seal, which is like a military show. It's exciting. I'll take it. But no, it wasn't what I thought was going to happen. This summer, it's mostly I've continued to work part-time as a writer's assistant, but I foresee that maybe getting a little more intense because he's managed to get development deals on two of his projects. I finished a draft of a pilot, which was great, and now I'm sort of working on a second pilot. I mean, I'm still working on that one-person show. I feel like it's sort of at a place where it just needs to be put up on its feet. So recently I've been trying to go out to the Moth a lot, mm-hmm. and put my name in. I'd like to do another short film. I'd like to at least be in pre-production on that. Okay. I'm going to give myself some time to write it and get my stuff together. But
okay,
yeah, I'd like to shoot another short.
So cast in a show on CBS, had some stuff going on for her as a writer. And interestingly, we were reflecting last time that a lot of the opportunities that Marla's been, the doors that have been opening for her, haven't been actually in comedy. Mm-hmm. They've been in areas like thrillers and, I mean, Seal is mm-hmm. a military drama procedural mm-hmm. on CBS.
That's the new one starring Angel, starring David Boreanaz.
Yes, yes, right. That's right. So a lot of the doors that are opening aren't necessarily in comedy, and she's walking through them, mm-hmm. even though I think when we started this, her work and her drive was more on a comedy side. So interesting to see how that evolves as well. Let's check in week 28 with Marla. So Marla, what's new the last 7 weeks?
Actually, not a whole lot. It's been pretty standard, just doing my part-time work still and writing a lot.
Okay.
I'm finishing up a couple of things for Steel Team because that's on next week. I've been auditioning a little bit, mostly for commercials, and then writing for myself, yeah, on my own project. Yeah, I think one thing I realized is I did book Steel Team, and that's been really exciting, and I was thrilled and got into the union. But yeah, once you do it, it's kind of like, okay, we're back to where we started again. Now what? Which is, yeah, I guess it just is. You're like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter. You're just, you know, always have to keep up that hustle.
Yeah.
I think two things have happened since we started, maybe three, since we started talking. But I think one of the things I've recently noticed is there were a couple of jobs I missed out on that I was really upset about, like super bummed. Couldn't figure out why I didn't get it, was told, you know, I was top of the pile. And now I look back and I think about the things that wouldn't have happened had I got that job, which are more in line with what I actually want. And I feel like that's been kind of like, oh, okay, like sometimes you don't get those things because something else is coming. And I think that's taken a little bit of the anxiety out. Like now when I'm not getting stuff, I'm like, okay, well, maybe 6 months from now, I'll understand why I didn't get it.
Okay. So a little bit of a longer view.
Yeah, well, because I think you can get, I think everybody has this experience of an opportunity coming to them, and it seems like by all means, you should get it. And it's almost pitched to you like, this is pretty much yours, we just need to do a couple of things. And then when you don't get that, the disappointment is like, how did I mess that up? But yeah, I think, yeah, it's that long-term view of like, well, maybe something else is more meant for you.
Yeah,
I think definitely in the past 6 weeks, like life has kind of come up and really made itself known and kicked my butt in like ways I couldn't have imagined. And it's sort of taken the anxiety out of any career thing and just been like, well, no, like, if I'm going to freak out about stuff, like, there's other things to freak out about aside from not getting a contract. So, yeah, for whatever reason, whether it's life things or having a better perspective, I have stopped kind of worrying about the security of a full-time job.
Yeah. And has that life stuff been a pretty big part of the last 6 weeks? I know that we talked about some of it a little bit over the summer.
Yeah, it freaks me. Somebody had tried to break into my house and I came face to face with them and told them to leave. I did learn I have more fight than I thought.
Yeah.
I guess in that sense, I'm like, oh yeah, be afraid of that stuff.
Yeah.
But like, as far as getting that contract, like, let's not worry about it.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of perspective there.
And it's been such a crazy summer. Like, I feel like I really start to notice it because I have these check-ins with you where I'm like, what is happening in my life? Like, crazy good and crazy bad. I'm hoping more, like, if we can swing back to the crazy good, that would be rad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's life.
The other thing, like, in there is, like, you're also saying that, like, you missed some of those opportunities earlier in the year. And those were more production jobs. Are you looking
Are you looking
to take that work anymore? Or is that something that you're also saying, like, I'm not even in that market?
Maybe I wasn't even conscious of it. But I think sometimes I took those jobs thinking, this will lead me to the thing that I want. And I missed out on a couple of those. And through things that I couldn't have even imagined or made up if I tried, I got the opportunities that I actually wanted.
Yeah. And those are the SEAL team opportunity, going up at the Moth, like writing some stuff for yourself. What else specifically has like come that you were available for?
I mean, even being a writer's assistant, being able to learn from a writer has come up, which I wouldn't have gotten before because it didn't happen in a normal way. It was like, it should have been a one day gig and then over. And then it turned into like a couple weeks, you know, here and there, which I probably wouldn't have taken had it been offered to me, you know, like, would you like to be a writer's assistant sporadically? You know, whenever this person feels like, I don't know if I would have taken it.
Sure.
But it has led to like maybe feeling more confident in my own writing and my own ideas.
Is there anything right now in your personal project development that feels like it's percolating towards like getting made, or is that not even a priority?
No, I would still like to make some of my own stuff. I see the value in that, definitely. Maybe as far as what I'm learning is, like, I feel like every time I'm like, this is what I'd like to happen with you, and then that's not what happens. Something else does. Yeah, because I think last time I had talked about really wanting to do a short, and I still want to do a short. But maybe just even, I think just as long as I'm working on my own stuff and moving towards something. Yeah, I wish my life was a makeover show sometimes, you know?
That you lived inside of a makeover show?
It's a complete 180.
Oh, I see.
You know? Like,
yeah.
She started production and now she's full-time in creative things. But that's not life. That's a reality show.
Yeah, I mean, you'd also talked about wanting to sort of like get yourself into a writer's room job.
Yeah.
And a more consistent one too.
Still working on my samples. So I guess that's all the progress on that side.
Okay.
But nothing concrete. Like I haven't had meetings or I'm not on the cusp of like being brought into a room or anything.
Mm-hmm. So let's turn to the part that you love the most, which is talking about the future. You know, like what's your mindset towards the next 7 weeks as 2017 comes to a close?
Okay. I'll be real honest. Logistically, I'd love to just book something else so I can get my SAG health insurance.
Okay. That's a great goal. That's great.
Okay.
Very practical, but yes, great.
Yeah, it's super practical. I would just like to get some health insurance.
End of list,
yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
That would be, if we talked and that had happened, I'll be a very happy camper.
Okay. Radical. Well, looking forward to seeing how that goes. 7 more weeks.
Me too.
She genuinely hates the part where she's predicting the future. It's genuine. The distaste for that part of the questioning is real.
Yeah.
So you vouch for that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She hates it. I would hate it, too.
Yeah.
It's tough.
She's definitely, of these four folks, Marla is definitely the most fluid in terms of, she even talks about it here, being open to where opportunity takes her, and she's trying to get more comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, like, how does that resonate for you? How does that, in the position you're in right now, how does mm-hmm. that resonate?
That resonated a lot. I've never met Marla. I don't know her. She seems great. She seems like a complete force of nature who's, like, doing exactly what she wants to do and dealing with the stuff that everybody deals with. One thing that really resonated for me there is her saying, like, wow, I booked this, like, network network drama. I've got this part. I'm SAG now.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's this tendency to think that when you get the job or when you get the house team or anything, that, like, your life will change and that all of a sudden you will be better. And it's not like that. It's, the way it feels to get cut from a Herald team, I assume, is the same way it feels to get cut from Saturday Night Live, you know? Like, it all is bad. And it's like, if you don't enjoy what you're doing at, like, the lowest level, like, here,
sure.
if you're thinking, like, oh, on this practice group, I'm really hating going to improv practice, but once I get on a house team, it'll be better. Or, like, boy, I hate making this short film on my own budget, but once I have, like, a crew behind me, I'll love waking up at 5 a.m. to go to set. It's the same thing the whole way through. It's just on a larger scale.
Sure.
And, like, you have to love the work and you have to love the process for it more than, like, counting on anything to, like, fix you.
I do think, too, that there's a confidence required. She's also talking about giving herself the bandwidth in life to take the opportunities that are in the area she's more passionate about. And I think that takes a certain confidence.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very natural feeling when you are offered something that is tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not the role that you want exactly, but there is something that is very, like, when it's that tangible and it's right there and it has a sense of security to it to say, I'll go do that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a certain confidence to say, right now, those aren't the kind of opportunities I want to pursue,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that also feels similar, like, where you're feeling like you're at
right
now. Like, in terms of giving yourself that bandwidth, how do you approach having that sort of, like, confidence to say, like, I'm looking for... And for you, is it about getting into a writer's room right now? Or what kind of opportunities are you looking for that you're open to or not open to right now?
Yeah, right now I'm for sure looking to get into a writer's room, looking to find good management and representation and all of that. Moreover, it is like, I feel like you have to figure out the times in your life when you get to be picky and the times when you don't get to be picky about, like, what job you take. Like, sometimes I've worked a lot of really weird jobs, and they're jobs that after I've gotten done with them, I'll be like, well, I'll never do that again. And then it comes up 8 months later that the same company asks you, like, hey, you were a butler for Perrier for us before. Do you want to be a doorman for Jack Daniels? And you go, like, well, I said I'd never, but you're paying my rent for 2 days work and I need the money, so I'll do it again. So it's like, what I always kind of figured was, like, right now I feel like I can be a little bit picky, not in, like, if somebody were to say, like, it's a writer's assistant job and it's for the late night show that's your third favorite and not your first favorite, I would be there in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
If it's in the area of what you want, then I think then, like, go for it. If not, then, like, it is about knowing what you don't want. Like, knowing what you don't want to do is just as important as knowing what you do want to do,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Sophie, you had a new fan theory about Marla. You want to share
yeah,
that
I
now
just,
or
I
we
just...
want to save it for,
what's that?
Know, for the after show?
Yeah. We have a breakdown.
The Career
after
Tracker
show.
After show.
After each episode. No, I just agree with her confidence. I think at first we were like, I had this, and maybe this has changed within myself, and I'm probably projecting onto Marla because we have so many similarities.
That's okay,
but I was
too.
Like, but it's, I see such a peace and calm in her. It's less that she's not. You know, contrasting her with Mehdi or someone who's like makes goals, goes after them, talks about them and has them very like specific in their mind.
Yeah.
She's someone who is open and it's the confidence of being open to whatever comes rather than it's not a lack of confidence. It's kind of the opposite. It's like, oh, whatever comes my way is meant to be.
And mm-hmm. yes, and it does feel like that has been an evolution because I didn't feel that way at week 7 with how she was looking at it.
Right.
And it does feel like she's more comfortable now in the choices that she's making.
Yeah, I would say 7 weeks is a really interesting amount of time. And there'll be 7-week periods where, like, I heard her say it, like, I just really want to get insurance in the next 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying, like, hey, my life is weird right now, and I need to get that stuff in order to be creative the next 7 weeks.
Yep.
And, like, I can tell you from experience, like, for 3.5 years now, every 2 to 3 months, every 7 to 9 weeks or whatever, a new opportunity comes up that you think is going to change your life, mm-hmm. and you can apply for it, and you get close, and you interview, and they tell you no, and then you're like, well, nothing else will happen, and then something new always comes
sure.
up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's also, at this time of year, too, the realization that over the next seven, I guess a little bit more mm-hmm. than that, but like we're getting into that time of the year where there's like maybe some holiday travel
right.
and there's some dates where things slow down and you're sort of like also budgeting what your expectations can be
mm-hmm.
based on what you know in your schedule you have to sort of like lock down.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, for sure. Well, excited to check back in with Marla in 7 more weeks and see how 2017 lands.
She seems great. I'm Team Marla. I'm all of a sudden Team Marla.
Team Marla.
Yeah. I like all Marla right. more than Ben.
Okay.
No, sorry, Ben. Ben, you're great. Sorry, Ben. I think you both are great.
Well, we're staying in L.A. for our next career tracker with Nick Stanich, who you said you did not know as well.
I do not know this person either. Sorry, Nick, if I know you, if we've met, but I don't think I know you.
Longtime beta team, digital team guy at UCB when those programs existed. Nick, when we first started talking to him, had just taken an
Was he here in New York?
No, LA.
Okay,
LA,
good.
LA.
Yeah, I don't know that I know this guy. Yeah.
When we first started talking in April, he had just taken a job in-house as the head of video at SB Project, Scooter Braun's production company.
Wow.
Where he'd been anticipating a high volume of digital projects and pitching music videos. He started doing a lot of development, got into some music video treatment writing, felt really good about the way creative stuff was moving, shot something big. And the last time we talked to him in week 21, the floor fell out of that project. Let's listen to our recap of Nick Stanich week 21.
And I had one project that I really, really excited about that we shot. I directed, it's the biggest thing I've done yet. And I found out it's not going to come out. And I think it was like a big learning experience of like, sometimes in this business, the fact that you invested time and personal energy into something doesn't matter. I kind of took until probably about this week before we talked that all the negative that came with it, I've kind of finally turned into positives. And I'm like, just ready to like the next opportunity I have to make something, make it that much cooler and that much bigger and kind of use it as a positive. One of the things I probably spend the most time on is that one pitch that we're finishing up the whole pitch. I don't think I did what I needed to do in these 7 weeks to help my career. And that's kind of a bummer. And I'm sure there's like little wins and maybe I'm a little hard on myself, but like sometimes 7 weeks goes by and you're like, oh my God, 7 weeks went by. I just need to film one thing myself that I'm making, like one little short. It doesn't even need to be big. I know I just talked about big visuals, but I mean big in the sense that like big budget or anything like that, just something that I made.
So some setbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just come off that setback. So on the flip side of like Ben, who experienced a setback this week, we're going to see what the 7 weeks after the setback looked like for Nick. Let's check in. Week 28, Nick Stanich.
So I think the last time we talked, last time was a little bit like I'd taken a few punches and I was kind of trying to like, I was kind of being very introspective about everything that was going on in the landscape. And I was like, I got to be out of that funk by the time I have this phone call next time. And it's been a lot of working on the development stuff too, but that side project of doing a short of my own,
yeah.
I kind of I've put a lot of things out there where I basically have to make sure it happens by the end of the year. I kind of put some safeguards in place. You know, I have a buddy of mine, Eric, staying with me. I'm going to get him moving on one of these projects. I have my other friend, Stevie. I'm going to get her kind of moving on another one of these projects. And then the one I am doing myself, I'm moving on as well. So whatever one happens to be first will be the one I shoot first, just so that I know something will happen before the end of the year.
Cool.
I think mostly for me is I do like think about these things a lot, but I at the same time I'm usually not a person that like lets something like that kind of like keep me on my butt too long. I'm definitely like a bounce back kind of person, and I think also just the idea that everything that happens you can take a learning experience from no matter what. So even though I kind of had a few instances that weren't favorable this year, the next time I'm in a situation, I know more things to bring up. I know different ways to handle things that I can make sure it doesn't happen again to the best of my ability. And again, that idea that we aren't in control of everything. So the things that I am in control of, these other projects, you know, other kind of stuff that I'm working on, that's something that is something to focus on more than the things you can't control. I mean, basically, it sounds, I guess, kind of like a simple thing, but, you know, there are certain projects that will always be for the client, whoever they are, whether it's a big, big company or a specific person, and you're kind of, you're doing work for them. You're work for hire sometimes, and that's kind of a thing to remember as well.
Yeah.
It's not always an artistic endeavor where you're, you know, making a film and you're like, I need this thing to be made. Sometimes you're just being hired to make something and you can love it the same amount, but there are different guidelines and different kind of ways that you are in control of the project.
Yeah. And so you're planting those seeds right now, right? So nothing is in production. You're planting the seeds creatively on these projects.
Exactly. And they're all kind of like nuggets that I've kind of made on my own. And then just to make sure that like something happens, I kind of like making sure that there's different people also working on it so that when it comes time to make something, I feel very confident that by the end of the year, I'll have shot something.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. It's like I was thinking about the time period when the last time I had a day job, which had nothing to do with film. I worked at an IT company as the head of operations. And that was kind of the time where I probably like grinded the most, where I was becoming a director during that period. So it was like I would work 9 to 7, 9 to 8. And then like I would edit at night, shoot on the weekends. And basically my entire time was filled up with like doing that kind of stuff. And then when you go freelance, you kind of have all this time. And you kind of sometimes like think back a little bit. So it feels like a little bit now that I'm back in that time period where the hours that I have after work, I need to spend doing these other projects, because that's the only thing that'll separate me from other people is getting back to kind of grinding. And it's harder when you're a little older, honestly.
Sure.
You kind of feel it. You kind of just want to like relax sometimes. But it's been kind of nice to grind a little bit more and kind of feel urgency. That same feeling of like, you know, a paper's due the next day or papers, you know, you kind of need that a little bit of a crunch to kind of move forward sometimes.
Yeah. Has there been creative projects that have been moving at work, or what has the sort of like day job side of it been? Like, 'cause it sounds like you also have some bandwidth right now to plant those seeds.
We were actually producing I was creative producing on a really big music video actually that, was the biggest financially project that I've ever worked on. It is funny because as a producer purely on it and not a director, I think this also helped me with this kind of thing I was going through last time, where there were a lot of things on this project that were out of control of the director, and I could, you know, I was spending a lot of time with him talking, and a lot of things that he had to handle, and you're kind of like, man, no matter what, there's always going to be these things that kind of come up, and you kind of just got to adapt to it and make the most out of it. 'Cause you know, we had a big budget. We had a really big crew. We had, you know, a lot of access to stuff, but there was still, you know, hurdles that, whether it's permits or talent or whatever, that there will always be things.
Has there been any directing work that's come in through work, or has it just been producing? 'Cause you were also sort of like riding that line for a little while between like what opportunities were coming through. It's been mostly producing the last 7 weeks.
It's been mostly producing and development. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I feel like I'm a little worried that my director muscles atrophied a little bit. So that's another reason I'm kind of just like really want to get one of these projects going. 'Cause I just feel like I haven't been in the saddle. I've kind of done something. I did something once this year, and it was the thing that got kind of canned. But I haven't, like, when I was freelance, I was doing things all the time and on my feet and shooting. Even if I wasn't directing, I was shooting or doing stuff, and it was just like constantly making a bunch of small things as opposed to waiting to make one big thing.
Yeah.
And that's been a big change. And but again, you know, the way I'm kind of looking at it now is there's just so many things that I know now, being on the other side and being doing a lot of development and doing this producing, it's kind of really, even though I would love to, I feel like I need to direct something soon, otherwise I might go a little crazy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that even with ideas, like coming up with ideas for you know, shows or shorts, you kind of going through the development process and learning and seeing what people say yes and no to and kind of what the trends are,
that's always helpful as well. So even though it feels like I haven't made a thing, there are so many other things that I've learned this year that I think will only make whatever I eventually make next better.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's mostly, I think, and I mean, we may have talked about it before, but it's like that stuff is so visual based.
Yeah.
And not being afraid to add really great, fun, creative visuals to even a simple story. I think I rewatched like Her this week, and it's one of my favorite movies, but it's also, you know, Spike Jonze is amazing.
Yeah.
He's incredible. But there's so many scenes where, you know, he's alone in a room talking to his phone, technically, and it's still visually fantastic. And the camera movements and the angles and the things he chooses to do, you know, Spike Jonze did a lot of music videos. I think you can see that influence there. And I think to me, it's like just seeing that you can, you know, we do a lot of comedy stuff, and I think a lot of like get coverage, but you can still find the moments to like make it a little bit better visually. Yeah, by the time we talk, it'll probably be, what, early December, around there?
Yeah.
So, it's kind of it for me in the sense that everything I've been talking about the last, you know, few months, there needs to be something on the book, either that I've already shot or, you know, or have, by that time, the weekend plan where I am shooting it. I mean, that should be, you know, the next time we talk, there absolutely needs to be something on the calendar or that's already been done. But I think for me, I mean, you kind of have to take it as it comes. But for me, it's like I'm being a little more assertive and reminding people that I'm a director, even not even for music videos or bigger projects. But it's like, hey, we have a musician and they want to do an acoustic cover of something. I'll come to a studio space and make something for them. They can put online, like, just something that lets me kind of like maybe even play a little bit, even where I'm behind the camera, just like I said it earlier, but it's like being in the saddle. It's just, I love that expression because I think it's kind of like, I think it's the one that makes the most sense, where you just want to kind of get in there and kind of ride and see kind of what you can find with the camera. And to me, those are always the most fun things sometimes.
Cool. So a bounce back period for Nick. Interestingly, what I hear from him, in the contrast from when this started, he was very excited to throw his full energy and weight into the job and the kind of opportunities that he was anticipating coming from there. He got a little burned, right? And it sounds like one of the things he's pulled from that is, I need to pick back up the things that are for me and let this thing that is a job be a job for a little while. And it sort of feels like his passion is moving back from the job to the stuff that he needs to do for himself.
Mm-hmm. And you contrast it with Ben, who said, like, oh, he was told when he started above average, keep doing the stuff that you want to do on the outside, that this is just a job, and that he did that. That's the way that I think Ben and I were maybe a little bit different at above average, and that I agree a lot with Nick here, or from what you're saying of Nick, yeah. Of I also really resonates with Nick of, like, oh, yeah, you get a little bit older, and you kind of want to grind a little bit less. Like, you want to say, like, hey, you know what, maybe it's okay if I have a girlfriend or like eat brunch once. Like,
yeah,
that, like, you, for me, when I started at above average, I was like, I really want to get, like, this is an opportunity. I've been making my own stuff for a long time.
Yeah.
This is my chance to really be here and to make it within this construct where I can, where there's people to support me. And that's something that, like, is the difference between working at a place and working independently, working freelance, yep. Is the team that you have around you. And I was very lucky at above average for the time I was there to have, like, a really supportive team that I was like, the opportunity here is better than what I could be doing on my own outside of here, like the work, mm-hmm. I could be making here. So I totally understand that. And also, like, that you can only ride it for so long. It is, like, I feel like everything's about finding a balance, that if you do find yourself going too far into the job, that you do want to kind of pull back. Yeah. Like, I had started teaching my palette writing class again, and I had started, like, trying to work on different projects and writing different live shows and doing stand-up again and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is a case where it's like there only is so much creative energy, mm-hmm. that you can put out there, right? We're only human.
Yeah.
And sometimes we look at other people in this business and we go, how are they so fucking prolific?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Donald Glover, yeah.
Yes, like Donald Glover is exactly the person I was thinking about too. It's like, Jesus Christ, how does that guy have so many hours in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know what the secret is. At this point, he's got a pretty good support network around him and has cleared a lot of the things, like even the simple things in life, I'm sure. You know, he can solve in more creative ways. You know what I mean? Like, even I'm like, you know, you're sort of like, you got to clean the toilet once in a while.
I wouldn't, I wouldn't pretend, to know how Donald Glover got to be how Donald Glover is. One thing I did notice with him is he started off, he was just a writer for 30 Rock.
That's all.
But it's like, oh, he started off and he was a writer. And then once he got established doing that, he left that and he became an actor. And then once that, now he like created, honestly, in my opinion, the best TV show of recent memory, Atlanta. And like, he's also a very prolific musician that it's like, you kind of like, you start to see how it all piled up. He was making music just as like a hobby back then when he was at 30 Rock and whatever. But like, it wasn't the thing that like, you do like one thing at a time. Like the, like, you want, that's my problem, I think, a lot of times, is I try to do everything at once.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I should, right now, if I want to do this thing, do that thing well and get it out there. And then once you get established for that, add in another thing once it's going. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think just to sort of like wrap around that point, too, it's like looking at what Nick is saying here, it's like there is only so much energy that you can have. Mm-hmm. And especially if you're looking for some semblance of balance with something outside of just 24/7 work.
Right.
Like you can only commit to so many things, and it just sounds like where he's gone, I don't think he's given up on this job. You know what I mean? I don't hear that in his voice.
No.
I don't hear like this is something that I'm going to make a change on soon, but it's more like he got hurt a little bit and he's pulling back from having that be something he continues to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's almost like waiting it out to be like, what's my new angle to get something out of this job continually?
Mm-hmm.
And where's the rest of the source to keep me powered up and keep me creatively fulfilled outside of the job?
Mm-hmm.
Which is an interesting place to be.
Yeah. I also, to that point of when you're 22, like Ben or whatever, seriously, Ben, get older. But like, just not grow up, but just like age a little bit. But when you're 22 and you're working a day job like Nick was, and like I was a staff assistant at Letterman, at the Late Show with David Letterman, and you have this day job where it's not what you, it's close to what you want to be doing, but not entirely what you want to be doing. And then you, I remember I would go to work at, I have to be there at 9:30. I'd work there till 6:30 or I had worked there till 6:30. I would literally take like a 15-minute nap on my boss's couch when after they had left. I would wake up. I would go to Maud rehearsal. I would write for Maud. After Maud, it was like our first team. Everybody would go out to the bar after every single rehearsal. Shout out to Dweeb. Hell yeah. And like, you wake up the next morning and you're 22, so you're not hungover and you're like, this is the best. And then like, you leave that day job, and then that amount of time that you're spending, you're just doing during the day, but you feel like it's much less. You know, you're still expending the same amount of creative energy, but you just have so much more time, and you think you'll be able to fill it with more creative stuff, but you still need to be getting like read a book, go live your life in order to like kind of feed the other side of it. Rest is just as important as work when it comes to being in creative industries. Yeah,
and it also is really interesting to sort of hear somebody who's seen both sides of freelancing and full timing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's and where you can merge those, what is the opportunity to merge those two things?
Mm-hmm.
And even inside of that, how do you keep enough? But in a world that the turnover happens so quickly, how do you, it's also like, you can't commit too hard to one thing. You've got to keep the options open. You've got to be thinking like multi-layered, sort of like keeping a lot of balls in the air, because like, the other thing is that projects end, things end, jobs end, opportunities come to a close, and you can't sort of put all those eggs in a single basket, or else you're going to wind up with no eggs.
Yeah. One thing I also wanted to point out that is similar between Ben and Nick, but maybe I didn't hear as much from Marla, is Ben and Nick are both like depending on their friends. Like, and they're making things, and Nick was like, oh, I've got this friend who I'm working on this thing with, I've got this friend who I'm working on this thing with. And Marla, like, she's an actor, and so like, it's a little bit harder to do that, but I heard her saying more of like, I'm putting up my one-man show, or I'm doing all of this stuff. And I was on that track for a very long time of like, I'm going to make stuff. I want to make it on my own. It's so much easier because I don't have to balance schedules with anybody else or anything like that. And I think that there is so much value in working with your friends of like, they're your friends. They want to help. You want to help them. And it's how you get things accomplished well is to depend on your friends.
Sure.
Like, find your friends. Find the people you like to work with. And use them. No, and
well,
like
in
support
the best
each
way
other.
Possible.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, use them in that sense of supporting each other.
Yeah, treat them with respect and have them do the thing that they're really good at so you can do the thing that you're really good at.
Yeah. Well, speaking of mm-hmm. your friends,
mm-hmm.
let's come back to New York City and talk about a good buddy, mm-hmm. Mehdi Barakçian.
Yeah.
So, you know Mehdi.
I know Mehdi. I know Mehdi from a very different facet of his life, though, when he was the lead producer for UCB's touring company.
Definitely of our four career trackers, he's the one who came into this project with the most clear objectives
mm-hmm.
in terms of what he wanted his 2017 to be.
Mm-hmm.
When we started, he had not even yet put up his show Passport Control on stage one time,
mm-hmm.
and he said, if I don't have this in meetings for TV by the end of this year, I'm shelving the whole project.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know it, by week seven, he had a pitch packet together, was taking meetings, and by the time we talked to him last time, he had news about progress on that project, in addition to updates about his excellent legit bookings he's done this year
uh-huh.
and his commercial track record of just booking everything
yep.
and the independent feature film that he executive produced and starred in that was going into festivals and the wedding that he's planning simultaneously and all those things.
He just got a dog.
Yeah, all these things that he's like pushing forward on and really like having these clear objectives on. Let's hear back what Mehdi was up to week 21.
Great summer. I've had my weekends. I went to the beach and stuff a couple times. Well, Passport Control's about to kick into gear because I got the fully executed contract. It's starting to take focus for all the, like, away from some of the other things I'm doing. I'm trying to put more of my energy into this. I booked another TV spot. It's a pilot for a psychological thriller that's going to be on Lifetime.
Okay. Your digital team pilot got into MYTV?
Yes. Yeah, we did. And Jamie and I had a script that we submitted to MYTVF. We made it to the second round. We didn't get picked, but we made it to like the... They send you an email if you make it to the 15%.
The short feature. So is there any update on that project or what's that been?
We got a couple of awards of merit for lead actor from Indie Film Fest.
Okay.
And also we got into Williamsburg Film Festival.
Great.
And are doing a talk back with them and they're screening it.
What do you think is going to happen the next 7 weeks? What's your objectives and goal set?
Crush Passport Control pilot. Just feel really good about that. I would have shot that pilot for Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll be in a place of calm.
Well, one spoiler, he's never in a place of calm.
Yeah.
Not possible. But big things happening, and the prediction was we'll have shot. We had the contract. He's going to pilot at Brick TV for Passport Control, the TV version, and he said, we're going to have this thing shot. Our big theme today seems to be taking steps backwards. And maybe had a little bit of regret. Let's see if that holds up, or let's see if Mehdi can break that streak. Week 28 with Mehdi Barakçian. So, Mehdi, some big predictions last time you were in here. What's been going on in 7 weeks?
Oh, God, I don't even remember them. Shit, you know, I should have listened before
you said
I came
we are going to shoot that pilot.
We are going to shoot that pilot. We did shoot the pilot.
All right.
We shot it. It was fucking hard. It was really hard, man. It was stressful.
I mean, it was a quick process to get it up and going.
Yeah, it was, because the turnaround from when we were, like, set for sure, got our date ready to go was... just a few weeks out from when we shot it. So,
yeah.
Like, getting all the pieces into place was a fucking nightmare. But I had a great team, so that helped out a lot.
That's
but, like,
awesome.
Little things, just, like, last minute, like a sign having to be hung was a huge problem because it just wasn't coordinated well, and it was partially my fault. And I held production to put this fucking sign up and pissed everybody off. But, like, we got the sign up, so...
Cool.
I thought the aftermath, dude, was going to be, like, hustle, 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 get it up. But the network has been slow in responding because they've first of all, they've pushed our date back. So when I first spoke to you here, we were like promoting September 22nd. It was going
to
be the date. It was up and gone.
So
shoot at
7. Record, yeah.
Shoot at 7 and release at 11 that night.
Oh, okay.
It's meant to be same turnaround. Found out that wasn't going to happen after our last podcast.
Mm.
After our last recording.
Yeah.
Found that it was going to be one of those things where we'll record it and they'll release it the following week.
Okay.
And so we're like, we had to go back to the drawing board and make a more evergreen show and leave some of the topical stuff out of it.
Okay.
And then it was pushed to October 30th.
Okay.
So I went on another podcast, and that 36 Questions podcast with Anna and Nick.
Uh-huh.
Great podcast, great time, promoted it there, October 30th, and then found out the next morning it's not October 30th anymore. So it's been a lot of back and forth coordinating with the network. They want to put together like a specific marketing strategy, which I love. I'm excited to hear that because I thought it was all on us to figure out.
Yeah.
But to do that, they had to coordinate a team, and that's just been real slow. So I still don't even... Right now, we're set for November 6th.
Okay.
But there's so many things I don't know. Like, is it going to stick? And I find out tomorrow, finally, is this meeting we've been pushing back three times, or they've been pushing back. I'll find out if we air November 6th, and I also find out, like, where do I got to send the eyes? Because the metrics matter.
Sure.
And I'm learning the metrics of the live television show, or the TV aspect of it don't matter at all.
Yeah.
They're more concerned with views from their digital platforms.
Huh.
Like the recorded YouTube and other things, not the streaming.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because it's like you're going to have a TV show and tell people not to watch the TV show.
Yeah, that's kind of funny.
So I got to learn that stuff. It's been slow, and it's been a lot of getting everyone ready, getting our social team ready with all the clips and GIFs and memes and all the kind of like behind the scenes stuff to coordinate a rollout. And we're just like waiting to pull the trigger right now.
Yeah.
We shot the pilot on September 22nd.
So almost a month ago.
Yeah.
And so this aftermath portion that's been about readjusting the timetable to launch has been the last month.
The last month has been, you know, a slow going back and forth of emails and coordinating social. But we did have to do some post on the on the edit.
You did that too.
We learned a lot on that. I mean, I learned so, man, I can't wait to do a second one because like now we know how to really crush it. Just like learning cueing the audience back in.
Yeah.
What are things that I can step on and keep going, or what are things that if I step on, I got to hold off on
and do it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, you know, all of a sudden we found out here's the date run.
Yeah.
And now we're waiting again and waiting for here's the date run again for the, you know, the marketing side of it.
Yeah.
So learning to adapt to that. But the good thing is, like, if we were to go to series, if we did, it'd be like a weekly or biweekly thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything less than that wouldn't, like, build momentum for an audience.
Sure.
So this is a good lesson in, hey, when you have 2 weeks to put a show together, what does that look like?
Yeah. Has there been other things that you've been picking up or working on in the meantime as well? Like, what else have you had the bandwidth for in the last 7 weeks?
Frankly, I have time right now.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of amazing. And I haven't forced anything in the meantime because I don't know, because I'm in that limbo of not knowing when we need to go on something else. Because there's a couple other projects I would love to pick up and start moving on, but because I'm stuck, I don't have a choice, and it kind of feels nice to, you know, I don't have, my evenings are kind of open from all those meetings and stuff. So
yeah.
I did book a small part in the thing, and I don't know where that falls in the time period from when we last spoke on a show called You, which is going to be on Lifetime.
We're talking about that.
I was, yeah. So yeah. I shot that, I think, in the last, because I shot that, I think, the week before we shot the pilot.
Okay.
And that was great because it's a small thing. It's like an under five part. I think I explained it last time. But what's interesting about it is that they booked me for one day. Then they called back and said, hey, can we book you for a second day? And I was like, yeah, sure, of course. I get there for the first day. Nate, I sat in my room for 8 hours and then they released me. I went to set one time, saw the set, and they were like, oh, we're not ready for you. Sent me back to my room. I sat down, watched like 7 episodes of Ozark. And then went home and then came back the next day, sat for 6 hours, shot for half an hour, and went home. Wow. Got paid for 2 days. It was great.
Wow. I think I might have seen that you were doing some like posting online.
It was just me like a douchebag in a dressing room. Yeah. I mean, it's just a fact. If you get your own dressing room, you got to post about it on social.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a little bit of this other script, I think we're going to call it Cheesecake, that I've probably mentioned a bunch, that Jamie and I wrote that did garner some traction at NYTVF, making it to the second round, is a thing that we do want to shoot. And I've just been like sending that out to friends who are producers and DPs to be like, would you be interested in being on board so that, you know, if I find that we have some time on Passport Control, I kind of know who's interested so we can like round up a team for it.
That's great. Looking at the year so far, how do you feel about how the year's been going? And how do you sort of assess like where your passions have changed from that first discussion?
I think I've done really well because I did book, you know, 3 legit things. And that, my goal was to get one in the door or one on my resume at the least. And what's great about that is you get one of those and you can set your next goal kind of, which is good and bad. But I think I hit all those things. The commercial front was slow and I think auditions were slow, and that could be a shifting in the direction my agents are going, or just a shifting in what you know, the marketing companies are looking for, or less auditions. I don't know. I think the next month or two, if I don't see more traction on that, then that in general has slowed down, and I feel confident about that because this is the time of year where they shoot all the stuff. But I'm feeling really, really optimistic because I did really well in this ABC diversity thing that I made it to like the semifinal round. So I feel good that like I'll be seeing auditions for pilot season for stuff on that front, and also with other casting directors. The legit side has picked up, which is the truth is you want to be on the legit side, right?
Sure.
Commercials are great if you can book them and make money, but I'd rather go out for a million more legit auditions that pay nothing but, you know, forge a career path.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, like, I'm feeling optimistic about the future. I know the commercial stuff has slowed down, but that is exciting because the other stuff has picked up.
Yeah. And how about Idol Worship? Any update there?
Yeah, we premiered at Williamsburg International Film Festival.
International Williamsburg
Film
Festival.
Well,
yeah, wow.
Yeah. Well, what they do is they accept films from all over the world. And then they, it's funny because it's like not even in Williamsburg. Like the screening was at like, I think, Hunter.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, I think I heard about that. I heard that there was like they had moved it and it was still called Williamsburg.
Oh, is that what it is? I think they call it like Willie Fest informally. But I was so confused about it. But we screened and it was so fucking cool to see our like our movie on a big, because it was a big screen. It was like a legit like theater.
That's great.
It was so fun, man. See yourself up there and like see the work and have everyone who came out from the cast and the crew and friends to come see it was really dope. Right. So we did well in that, got like some kind of award of merit. We're up for other things. We won something somewhere else, but I can't remember what it was. So it's doing well. We are in the phase of looking for distribution. Some producer from some place reached out. I'm checking on the legitimacy of who that is and what that is, because there's so much bullshit out there.
Oh, definitely.
Someone like reached out to you because you made a movie and like, hey, I'm this guy and I can do this and this for you. And you're like, well, can you though? Or is it like a Weebly website you made? You know what I mean? Like, it looks like a Wix site.
Yeah.
Which is what most festivals look like anyway. I don't know. It's like figuring out legitimacy, but that's still in the next phase. We'll see where that goes.
Cool. So the next time we talk is going to be our last one of the year.
Yeah.
Believe it. What are you looking to accomplish in the rest of this year, and where do you want to be as 2017 comes to an end?
I don't even know that I want to set any goals right now. I think I'll know the answer to passport control, and then I'll be able to set goals. But right now, it's just sitting and waiting, and hopefully November 6th is when it happens, and then I'll know.
Okay.
I'd like to book another legit thing.
Okay.
But if I put it out there, it's going to happen then, right?
Exactly. It's going to happen. how about wedding updates? We always throw that at the end.
Going great, man. Save the dates, locked and loaded. No, they're at home right now, but they're stamped, they're return addressed, they're addressed, got a wicked cool website we're making for it.
Nice.
Most of my groomsmen and all of Jamie's bridesmaids are there.
Nice.
I think it's gonna happen.
Progress is happening.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Gotta get in the wedding update.
Yeah.
Gotta know the latest on that.
What a great guy.
Because it's a whole another thing you gotta produce. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But interesting, it is interesting. He didn't want to set any. This is the that was surprising to me. He didn't want to set any goals for the first time.
Sure.
Again, feeling comfortable with where he. It sounds like Marla in a similar way. Feels more comfortable with the waiting.
I think that's an end of year thing. I'm somebody who, for sure, I'm a goal setter. I don't know if you can tell from just my voice, but I'm a pretty type A kind of a person. I like to set goals, and I'm an organized kind of a person. That like it gets to be the end of the year, and like. It does. It kind of hits the holidays, and especially being in a place where Mehdi's at, where it's like, I have this project. I kind of am stuck in this wait-and-see period.
Yeah.
That's the way it is with any job. Like, he actually got to make something, which is cool, but he still has to wait to see, like, what happens with it before, like, people really go out and do stuff with it, I guess. But still, like, you kind of have to figure out, like, I'm in a limbo now, so I have to... I guess, like, read. Like, you do. Like, sometimes it's time to set goals and figure out what's next, and sometimes you just kind of have to chill out. And if you can actually chill out, then it's how you can survive in this world is by knowing that, like, this is the time when I get to chill out. Like, there's times when you have to push and there's times when you have to pull back.
Yeah. It's also interesting because it's like, you know, I think I set this up by saying, like, did he break this streak? And it's like, in terms of, like, moving balls forward, yes, definitely. He achieved the big thing he said that was going to happen in that 7 weeks, did. But now he's also in a place where he needs to sort of just like be patient, still advocate for the direction he wants that project to go, right? And still be actively participant in helping it succeed in whatever way can help him get to the next sort of like threshold for that project. Mm-hmm. But also like he can't push that any more than, you know what I mean? He can't push it too hard or else he risks alienating the people on the other side of that push, feeling like they're being attacked or that this isn't a partnership that can be fruitful either. So you do have to sort of be comfortable with, I'm going to hang out a little bit. I'm not going to commit to any big new projects for myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to sort of be cool with, I did something. I want to see it succeed. Let me have the space to allow that to happen.
Well, and I think one thing that Mehdi's doing really well that I think a lot of creative people maybe don't realize, and he gets because he comes from a production background and he's a great producer, is that like getting the thing made is only like the first half of any creative project. Like releasing it and like getting it out to the right people and finding people to watch it and promoting it and selling it if you're that lucky to be there, like, is just as much, if not more work than actually writing, producing, editing the thing. Like, it's not enough to just make the, like, you, I feel like I always thought that it was enough just to make the thing, and then if you make the thing, it's good enough and people will watch it. And it's not true. You need, it's just as much energy that it's almost like people are, think that they're only running a half marathon when really they're running a full marathon.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good way to put it. I mean, and I guess maybe I was wrong. Maybe he does sound calm.
Yeah, maybe he's calm. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that's as calm as Mehdi gets. Like, Mehdi also is like a kick-ass drummer. Like, he won in my Battle of the Bands show. Like, his band won. And it's like, I think his band won. Maybe they didn't. Sorry,
I think they did.
They did. They for sure won their round. I don't know if they won the Battle of the Champions. Okay. I'm sorry, Mehdi. Okay. It was a while ago. I know he's a kick-ass drummer, though, and I feel like that like is kind of Mehdi, where it's like he's always drumming, and it's a stereotype of drummers.
And the other thing that happens, and it's like we'll see how the rest of the year goes for all of these guys, but like the other thing that always happens is that like you get to January 1, and you have this block of time where the world goes a little bit quiet. We don't focus as much on the projects and the deadlines, and everybody gets given a little bit of space. It's the one time a year where we all sort of give each other the space to be like, we don't need to respond immediately. We don't need to keep driving so hard. And you do that thing for a lot of people, which is spend time with their families, which maybe also like drives them a little bit crazy. You know what I mean? Well, not everybody, but for a lot of people. And then it's like you get back January 1, and you're like, let's get going again. Right, yeah. New year, new me. So let's roll.
Well, I know for sure sometimes for some people, time with their family is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been spending so much time away from this.
Yeah.
And what have I been doing? I think for most people who are artists, it's been more like, I need to make something so that my uncle will stop goddamn asking me when he can see me perform and where he can see me play.
Or when you're going to law school.
Yeah, or when you're going to law school. Like, that it is. I personally, I love New Year's. I think New Year's is the best because it is like January 2nd. You buy your new planner, type A, hello. You buy your new planner, you set your new goals, and like it's a clean slate. Every new year, I have the same New Year's resolution, which is I'm not going to watch Netflix. And I'm going to like use all, because I'm addicted to Netflix, and I have the most antagonistic relationship with Netflix of anybody. It owns me. It absolutely owns me. It keeps me from sleeping. It keeps me from getting work done. Netflix is the enemy, but I love it so much. But like, I make it like a month, maybe a month and a half, and then I get sick from like overworking, and then I'm immediately just like, well, they released a new Marvel series. I guess I'll watch Luke Cage. And then I'm back on, and I'm addicted to it again.
It sounds like a familiar cycle.
Yeah.
So you've heard all four.
Yeah.
You've heard the sort of like their predictions for the future. The last thing we always like to ask for you, and we're looking towards the end of the year now, and you're in a fresh start period. Do you have any goals or any sort of like thought process you have towards the end of the year for yourself right now that you want to see happen?
Towards the end of year for myself is, oh, wow. Yeah, this is a hard question. It's a hard question to ask somebody, especially because you don't want to be wrong.
Sure.
For me, I'm hoping to carry the momentum that I had. It's a great thing when you're working at a place like Above Average. You're so productive because there's somebody there telling you, you have to get this thing done or we're not going to pay you. And I want to try to keep that productivity up. mostly I've been trying to focus on getting my materials together and getting the pilots, getting the reels, getting the website, the anything that you want that would help a manager or an agent find you to be desirable, that like to have all of that stuff in order so that in the new year, because yeah, it's getting to be Thanksgiving, it's getting to be Christmas, people are a little bit checked out, I think. But even still, like to kind of get my ducks in a row so that I can hit 2018 running.
Yeah.
I'd love to get some stuff produced before it gets cold out, that like some outdoor stuff.
Sure. That's a very practical New York thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like those couple of months there suck for outdoor production.
Right. That like I have a live show that I did at UCB called Pipeline that I'm adapting into a short film that I want to like write and produce as a featurette. If that gets done before 2018, I'll honestly kind of be shocked, but I would love for that to happen. Ideally, like, here's the way that it goes, and I feel like I've heard this in other people's voice, that you're like, all right, it's about to be, like, November 1st, right? So we've got 8 weeks left of 2017. In that amount of time, I'm like, I'm going to write a new pilot. I'm going to write a short film. I'm going to do – I'm going to get up 30 times on stand-up, and I'm going to figure out, like, five different meetings that I want to take with different people. For me, that's what I'm looking at a lot lately has been just like reaching out to people rather than focusing so much on my own work. I want to collaborate more with people and I want to work more with other people. And that's definitely a big focus for the end of the year here is rather than worrying about getting another web series made. I've made too many of them. rather than getting another web series made and then like releasing it on Facebook so that my uncle will shut up. I'm not thinking of a specific uncle.
The general uncle.
It's the royal uncle.
The idea of an uncle.
I want like to just meet people who I want to do things different after having had this job than what I was doing before I had the job. And one thing I never really did before was like, oh, let's work with people. Let's go out and let's meet people and let's take general meetings and let's make new friends. I don't like the word networking because it feels gross to me, and I think LinkedIn is awful. Sorry, LinkedIn.
That's right. You had that really like killer, that video that we did with the skateboards. Like, LinkedIn was the punchline. It was like LinkedIn sucks was like the last joke in that.
That's been. Have you ever gone back through? I've been on Twitter long enough that I realized that every 2 years I'll make like the same joke. I feel like LinkedIn is one of those jokes for me, and I realized that on. I think, honestly, on, like, four separate occasions, I've made the joke that at the end of Friends, Ross was Rachel the whole time. That's a joke was funny that I think I'm thinking of for the first time every 2 years. And now I know it, so I will make it again, but on purpose.
Yeah, that's great.
But, like, you don't want to keep making the same mistakes. And with, like, I think we heard Nick talk about it from, like, having, like, learning from these mistakes. And even Mehdi from, like, learning, yeah, we did one of them. And for the second one, I know how I'll really nail that one, is, like, the only way to get better at this stuff is to do it. And the only way that you really can keep growing is by learning from the mistakes that you've made and by not, like, you want to change course enough that, like, you are doing things different and you are learning new things rather than just making the same mistake over and over again and wondering, like, well, when is that agent finally going to discover me at Herald Night? And it's like, yeah, they probably won't. Herald Night's so much fun. That's not why I do it. Is to for career success. I do it because I love performing and I love my team. But like you want to like learn what you're not doing that like will elevate you to that next level.
Sure.
You know? You want to keep moving forward.
Well, it sounds like you're moving forward, taking the best out of the experience that you had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what the rest of 2017, the beginning of 2018 looks for you. Thanks so much for doing this, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. This was great.
And that's going to do it for another episode of the UCB Digital Podcast. We'll be back with another installment of the Career Tracker in 7 weeks. In the meantime, though, we'll be back every single week here with new episodes, conversations with filmmakers, writers, directors, actors, producers, whoever. And we got some great guests lined up, and we've had a great time at NYTVF this week where a couple of projects, including Splunch, premiered, which is also going out on our Facebook page and YouTube page. You can watch the whole series right now at YouTube/UCB Comedy. And if you don't get to YouTube anymore, it's coming out on Facebook every week, Facebook.com/UCB Comedy. Don't forget, our Maker Book Club is in round two. We're reading the director's Sixth Senses, and there's still time for you to join in if you'd like to join in with us. Our book club meets on December the 7th. It's a Thursday. It's the beginning of December. We'll be reviewing that book, taking your comments live on Facebook. And shit, if you want to read it, there's still time. You could join us in person because we're going to have a good old time drinking some whiskey and some coffee, too, and talking about the director's Sixth Senses. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode of this show. As always, rate and review on iTunes.com/UCB Comedy. We're back next Tuesday, and until then, we'll see you on the internet.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.